Faith to hear is ability to do. In Matthew chapter 16, it's going to start in verse 5. And it says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread." That's something in the natural realm. In verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have no bread? Don't you understand, neither do you remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? And verse 10, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I spake not about the bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" In verse 12, "Then understood they how that when he spoke to them to not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Pharisees and Sadducees, they're still alive and well today. They've still got all kinds of doctrine floating around. Faith to hear is the ability to do. You can't do something for God that you haven't heard from God already. And you can't hear from God in a way that your heart is not prepared to hear from God. The disciples here heard a clear word from God. I mean, this is fascinating to me. They had a clear word. Jesus didn't say, beware of not taking bread with you on the ship. That's not remotely what Jesus said to the disciples. You know, to the carnal mind, clear spiritual direction is totally misunderstood. To the carnal mind, clear spiritual direction is totally misunderstood. God is never lacking in giving you direction in your life. He's never lacking in giving you 110% direction in your life for everything. You have 110% answers and wisdom on everything in your life. In regards to all of your finances, you can be in the biggest financial hole that you don't even, you forgot how to spell hole. It's so big. You can't even see daylight anymore. You're down buried so deep in financial trouble. But God's wisdom has answers for you. He has a step-by-step process on the way out. And you know what? As you take that step-by-step process, you may take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps, and you're only 7 steps ahead. But that 8th step could put you on an elevator that's going to take you way out, and God's going to fast forward the process. But God has wisdom and answers for you. Hallelujah. The disciples here were carnal-minded. Worldly info versus godly info. You see, Jesus gave the disciples godly info, but they were worldly-minded, and they just completely missed it. I mean, totally clear direction from the Lord was absolutely missed by the carnal mind. You know, you can't hear something from God that your heart is not prepared to hear. Your heart is conditioned by what you continually hear. You may want to write that down. That's so important. Your heart is conditioned by what you continually hear. Now, you got to remember in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower sows the word, and he talked about the 4 types of soil, Jesus said that if you understand this parable, then you will understand all parables. In other words, that parable there is the grand master parable. That is the number one thing where all the wisdom of God, particularly in the New Testament, but in the Old, is derived from. That's the foundation. That's the core right there. Jesus said, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand any other parable? So Jesus here, he talks about the soil. And you will notice there in that parable in Mark chapter 4 that the soil reproduced whatever was sown into it. Your heart will reproduce whatever you sow into it. If you sow sin, if you sow social media and television and R-rated movies continually into your heart, that's what your heart is going to produce. God, your heart is the most fertile soil that there is. You know, my parents went to Costa Rica about 15 years ago. My dad owned an auto parts store over off of White Settlement Road that's not there. The building's actually not there anymore. The government, pushed, they took care of, whatever. If anybody knows what I'm talking about over there in the White Settlement Road and Trinity River area, the buildings have been bulldozed and they're rebuilding and they pushed some businesses out. And my dad, thank God, he got his business out just in time before he was forced out. And he sold well. God gave him a ton of favor on that. And but he had a business over there, White Settlement Road, the Auto Parts Discount Center, and God blessed that. And as he got out of that business, there was a lot of favor there. And, you know, but you have to have fertile soil in your heart. Let me just repeat this so you can understand where I'm going. This worldly info versus godly info. You see, the heart you have is going to reproduce whatever is sown into it. You can't stop the harvest from coming. Whatever is sown into your heart is going to reproduce. So what you continually hear is what you're going to continually reproduce. Hallelujah. It's going to be blessed in your life if you receive the seed of the Word of God. But when you begin to, if you are conditioned by things that are worldly, then when spiritual information comes to you, like when Jesus gave the disciples spiritual information, then you're going to miss the spiritual information. You're going to miss the revelation that God has. See, because your heart is conditioned by what you continually hear. So how much do you want to hear from God? What level of revelation do you want to hear from God? You can turn over to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. I think it's interesting that Jesus said here, "In straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went into the mountain apart to pray." Jesus made room to hear from God. He sent the disciples away, and he constrained the multitudes to go away. So what are you willing to not hear in order to hear from God? Because what you continually hear is what you're going to produce. So if you're continually hearing the things of the world, you can't produce things of the Spirit of God. Even when you do hear something from God, you will miss it because your heart is conditioned by the things of the world. And even Jesus here, he pushed aside what he was hearing from the multitude. He pushed aside what he was hearing from the disciples. He sent the disciples away on a boat. He pushed the multitudes away. What are you willing to push away? What are you willing to stop hearing in order to hear from God? Because it's always going to come down to a forceful decision that you're going to spend time with God. If busyness can drive you away from spending time in the presence of God, then you're going to let that drive you away and you're going to miss what God has to speak to you. Jesus pushed those things aside. What are you willing? Are you willing? How willing are you to push things aside so that you can hear and develop your relationship with God? Because there's always going to be something so busy. You know what? When I was a kid, I had tons of time. You know, we sat around and played Game Boy. You know, Game Boys, you know, people don't, I don't know, even know if that's around anymore. It was a black and white Game Boy, and we used to play Tetris for hours. And then you go to sleep, and you see these blocks going down, ding, 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 and it just drive you crazy. And, you know, we'd sit on the back porch and play Game Boy. We just had tons of time, hours with nothing better to do but just goof around. And, you know, I was a high-energy kid, and that used to just drive me crazy. I just want to go do something. But, you know, we don't get that kind of time back when you grow up, if you've noticed. Life doesn't just somehow unwind itself. You know, your schedule's not just going to automatically just get lighter somehow. And, you know, you've got to force things and push things back and make room to hear from God. Because what you continually hear is what you're going to continually produce. The disciples were not, see, Jesus had worked miracles with the bread, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, and the math didn't add up in the realm of the natural. But the disciples didn't catch on. Their heart was hardened. And it's interesting to me that Jesus never recounted any miracle that he ever did to the disciples other than these two. You can read it throughout the Gospels. when he raised Lazarus from the dead and all these other huge miracles that Jesus did, he never repeated those or referred back to him. The only time he referred back to any miracles that he ever did was right here when he was talking about the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. So this is really important stuff. It was logical to Jesus what he did. Then when he went back and he began to talk about the loaves and the fishes, he said, did you not see how you started off with a small amount of loaves and you came and we fed 5,000 people, and then we started off with a small amount of loaves and fishes, and then we fed 4,000 people? In other words, he worked a miracle here that produced numerical results. In other words, anybody here that's been through kindergarten, you can count and you can see something just happened right here. And Jesus is almost a little, he's frustrated with his disciples because not only has he taught the word, but he's demonstrated something in the realm of the spirit that manifested in the natural that produced logical, supernatural results. And your faith must come to the point where the supernatural becomes logical. Did you hear what I just said? Your faith has to come to the point where the supernatural becomes logical. So Jesus is repeating these miracles here to his disciples. And from Jesus' viewpoint, it was logical, the miracle and the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And you can see the frustration in his heart and his mind saying, did you not see? Have you not noticed these miracles that took place? And that's why they should have understood what he was talking about when he said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They should have caught on, because they had been seeing these things. But you can see things in the natural and it not get into your heart. You can stand there and look at miracles in the natural realm and it not get into your heart and it not change your life. You have to make a decision that you're going to let it get in. You have to make a decision that you're going to let it change your life. When I was down in the valley several years ago, we were doing a crusade, and there was a church that we rallied like 5 or 6 churches with us to participate in this crusade. And there was a church we went to on a Sunday morning, and I preached and showed this video of our ministry. And in the video, it had a lot of healings, and the power of God hit when I was showing that video. And I said, the first 3 people down here are going to get healed of whatever they had. And they're 1-2-1. The first person, the second person came, the third person came. Then the third person was coming up, and he was a blind and crippled guy. And his friend or his wife was pushing him in the wheelchair. To make a long story short, his eyes opened up. He was able to count fingers from quite a good distance away. Because he had diabetes, and his eyes were, first off, he couldn't even open his eyelids, much less see. If he could open his eyelids, he couldn't see. Well, he couldn't even open his eyes, but God opened his eyelids and he opened his eyes also. And then he began to walk around. It was a tremendous miracle. But that church from then on out just disappeared. You know, I mean, I don't know if we could have had 30 people raised from the dead in that service, if it would have made a difference, because you can be standing and looking right at the power of God and miss everything that God has to say. I mean, in that place, they turned their backs on us and didn't have anything to do with us, and it wasn't because we offended anybody. There were other things going on, and God works this tremendous miracle right there, and what do? They shut the door on it. Just totally disappeared. It's amazing what the spirit of religion can do. They stood and watched this tremendous, undeniable miracle take place. And you would think, as an evangelist, that when something like that happens, that you would get participation, that people would come out and want to be involved with the crusade, but they didn't. And so Jesus here is experiencing the same frustration with his disciples. It's worldly info versus godly info. What is going into your heart and your mind on a continual basis? That's what you're going to reproduce. Worldly hearing totally misunderstands clear, God-given revelation. These disciples just totally misunderstood. Jesus told them something very clear. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That's pretty clear right there. Beware of the leaven. You know, leaven is something that reproduces. It produces a chemical reaction, and it makes something. It changes something. And that's what bad doctrine, worldly information, will do. If we just get so full of these things, it begins to produce something in our lives that is worldly. And it's going to make a result on the inside of us. And Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." So they totally missed what God was telling them. So you can hear from God, but if it doesn't get into your heart, it's not going to produce the change. On the converse, though, prepare your heart. Be prayed up in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. And like we read here in Matthew chapter, 14, verse 22, where Jesus constrained his disciples. I believe that God has a word for many of you right now, and that is for you to make a decision throughout your week. When and how are you going to constrain people to get away from you and push away the multitude of things that are coming into your life and pressing onto you and pressing into your schedule, and make time for the Lord? I believe that's a word for us tonight. Make a decision. Think it through right now. Make a note in your notes. Put a reminder on your to-do list on your smartphone. If you have a dumb phone, you got to use paper. If you have a smartphone, you can use your smartphone. Make a note. What are you going to do? How are you going to make room for God? Because what you make room for and what you're willing to push aside determines how much you're going to hear from God. What you're willing to push aside determines how much you're going to hear from God. Jesus was willing to push his disciples aside, and that wasn't rude, it wasn't mean, but you know what? Sometimes you just have to do something like that. You just have to shut the door on people. There's always going to be need. There's always going to be things to do. There are always going to be people calling and asking for this and that, but you've got to just have something walled in where you are going to be alone with the presence of God. And then in that place, God can work in your heart and speak things. And rather than missing God's plan of multiplication, rather than missing what God has, you're going to begin to hear things, because your ability to hear is your ability to do. Now, it's interesting to me here that Jesus said that the disciples had little faith. He said, "O ye of little faith." Most of us think about faith as your ability to do great things for God. We think of faith on the side of doing. But big faith or little faith starts with what you hear from God. Big faith or little faith starts with what you hear from God. Little faith can hear a clear direction from the Lord and absolutely misunderstand what he said. Little faith can hear clear direction from God and not have an understanding of what God said, because what is logical to the person of little faith is the thing of the things of the world. Let me ask you this question right now. What is logical to you? Have you come to the place where the things of God are logical to you? Are you at the place where the impossible, the supernatural, is logical to you? What is logical to you? When God's leading you to do something, when God is leading you for increase, when God is leading you for multiplication, is it more logical to you when you begin to look at the things in the natural and think, there's no way this is going to work? I believe I heard from God. He put a burning fire in my heart, but this is not going to work this way. If the things of the world are more logical to you, then you are a person of little faith. But if the things of the Spirit of God are logical to you, if they make sense, and I want to debunk the theory and the idea right now that the things of God are spooky. They are not spooky. The things of God are not to be misunderstood. The things of God are to be even logical to the person of faith. To Jesus, it was logical what he did. It was line upon line and precept upon precept. And we've got to get to that same place where the things of God, the supernatural, and the increase is line upon line and precept upon precept. Hallelujah. We as a body and a member and the body of Christ here at Calvary Cathedral, we've got to get to the place where filling this place on a Sunday morning is logical to us, to where there's no spookiness, to where there's nothing unknown about it. But we have got a hold of direction from God, and we are so full of faith, our hearts are so prepared that reaching the city and shaking it to the core and seeing this place filled is logical in our minds and in our hearts. And God can just speak and we grab it because our hearts are there and we're ready for it. It's like watching an NFL football game. You know, they have these microphones that on the sidelines. They have a microphone that sticks out, and they have this disc that comes out around the microphone so it'll zoom in. And you can hear every word that the quarterback is saying. But if you don't know what the playbook is, then you hear every word he's saying, and you have no idea what he's talking about. Blue 62, right, da-da-da. And you heard everything, but you did not. You have no understanding. That's the person that is fed and lives off of worldly info. You know, people can know everything about pop culture, Britney Spears, and all these things, but you can pray in tongues and give an interpretation and give a word from God, and they don't catch it. But if you're tuned into the things of God, if you're one of the players on the field and you've been studying the playbook, if you're one of the players in the kingdom of God, a soldier in the kingdom of God, and you've been studying this playbook, and you're pushing things aside like Jesus did in Matthew 14:22, and making room to hear from God, then when God speaks, you're going to get a hold of it. And it will be logical to you. It will be sound reasoning to you. You know what? God has had me do things that look impossible and traveling around the southern United States. And I drove out of my driveway in 2012 with a pickup truck and an RV and with basically no money. I mean, I just had nothing. But it made sense to me. It never crossed my mind that, you know, what if I get stuck down in Temple, Texas, and I run out of diesel and I don't have any money? It never crossed my mind. It was logical to me. It wasn't easy, but it was logical. Why? Because my heart was prepared. I had spent time praying and seeking God and hearing from God. It was logical to me. People look in the realm of the natural and think, you can't do that. That's insanity. You're leaving your house. You just left house and home. You don't have anything left but that little RV trailer and a pickup truck. You can't do that, David. Actually, I drove out with a pickup truck. I didn't even have an RV. I had a box trailer. I didn't have an RV yet, but the RV came later on. And God multiplied. And I came out of 2012 with a semi-truck and a business from that and an RV and the tent that we've put up here in the south end of the property. How in the world can you drive out of your driveway in February sometime with a pickup truck, a box trailer full of sound equipment that is way overloaded? Any preacher does that. And end up with, at the end of the year, with all the things that God had blessed me with. It doesn't make sense in the realm of the natural. But it made sense to me at the time. And I look back and think, how did that happen? That was crazy. You know, there are stories and things that happen along the way that it's crazy. I mean, you would never do something. You would never plan anything in your life that way. you would never do it. But you step out and you walk on the water. But it was logical to me. So what is logical to you right now? I just wanted you to think on that for a second. What is logical to you right now? That'll give you a good clue on where your heart is. What is God speaking to you, and what is logical to you? So we've got to get away from the fact that the things of God are spooky and undefined and unclear, and it's kind of hocus pocus or anything like that. The things of God are very logical. And Jesus said that little faith is the faith that doesn't hear what God said. When God speaks and we miss it, we have little faith. So faith, whether it's big or little, is determined by your hearing. It's not determined by your doing. It starts by your hearing. How is your hearing tonight? How are you hearing from God? Have you heard from God recently? Have you been developing your heart? Hey, do you have a prayer life? Have you been studying the Word? Are you hearing from God? What has God been speaking to you? Then that's your faith level right there. When God speaks something to you and you grab a hold of it, then great is your faith. Because when you're going to do something for God, it can't be stopped. That's why people that do something for God, when you talk to them and they're slaying giants and they're moving mountains into the sea, when you talk to them, they don't think about failure in the realm of the natural. They don't think about the logical side of those things. Why? Because their logic is in the realm of the spirit, and it'll manifest in the realm of the natural. I'm telling you, it will pan out and it will work. Praise God. We've got to get to the place where the things of the Spirit of God are more logical than the things of the world. We have got to get to the place where the things of the Spirit of God are more logical than the things of the world. So what is logical to you? What makes sense? I'm telling you right now, you can take the sharpest engineer mind in the world today that thinks line upon line. I'm telling you, the guy can have advanced calculus taking place in his mind on an easy day. He's so smart. And then begin to match that up with the things of the Spirit of God. And the mind will begin to, the mind that is conformed to the Word, that has the mind of Christ, all of that superior logic. You know, people that think like that, they think line upon line. And they think one thought, then they establish one thought, and they build a second thought on top of that based on the first one. And I'm telling you, you can get to where you can calculate in light years how far away a star is that nobody with their natural eye can see, but you can see it through a telescope, and they can calculate in light years how far away that star is. I mean, the thought process that we can have logically is amazing. But I want to tell you right now, you can have that same logic applies to the realm of the Spirit. And you can take that sharp mind, and if they apply themselves to the things of God, they will find that the logic is just the same. There's no hocus pocus. There's no spooky part of what God wants to do in your life. It makes total sense, praise God. That what did not make sense here in this parable was the fact that the disciples watched Jesus multiply the loaves and the fishes two times, and they never caught a single thing. That was illogical. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to manifest things here and in your life that are so powerful and so demonstrative that other people that do not catch it, they'll begin to look illogical. They'll begin to look and think, I need to change the way that I think. I need to change the way that I operate, because that's working a lot better than what I'm doing. What was illogical in this story was the response of the disciples being carnal-minded. It made no sense. It did not add up. 1 + 1 did not equal 2 with the disciples. They watched all of this tremendous blessing and increase happen twice and missed every single bit of it. They did not receive an ounce of what Jesus had done and demonstrated to them. That was illogical. Unbelief and fear and doubt are illogical. I'm telling you, people can get bound up in fear and not do something for God and not step out and not open their heart in an area, and it makes no sense. I'm telling you, pass up opportunities, miss things that God has for them because of fear, and it makes no sense. They're making an emotionally based decision and missing what God has for them. Doubt is illogical. Fear is illogical. Unbelief is illogical. If you doubt what God is doing in your life, if you doubt the existence of God, you're thinking illogically. If you doubt the goodness of God, you're thinking illogically. If you have unbelief and you believe against the things of God, you're not thinking logically. You know, I spent a lot of time dealing with people, you know, Muslims and agnostics and things, and debating and disputing, and Mormons. I've even got a transcript of a conversation, and I've debated and disputed and thought, well, logically, I can disprove them. And I've even got a transcript where I did this with a Mormon once online, and I saved the transcript. And I set him up. He had no idea what I was doing, but I set him up. I got him to agree on one point, and then I came around the back door, and I said, okay, well, based on this scripture in Galatians chapter 1 and what you just said, then Joseph Smith was wrong, and all of Mormonism is wrong. And then he closed the chat, and he said, well, we're not allowed to go beyond this and that, and I'm sorry, I got to stop. And I'm thinking, I just logically proved that wrong. And I've done the same thing with Muslims. And I've done the same thing with agnostics, and logically proved them wrong. But until they have their heart awakened, it doesn't matter. But my point is, the things of God are logical. So what is logical to you? It makes sense. I think that's just amazing. Good stuff right there. Worldly hearing totally misunderstands clear godly revelation. You can't hear what your heart is not prepared for. in dealing with, when I've had these discussions with people about salvation and who is God, they couldn't hear what their heart wasn't prepared for. Their heart was prepared against God. And they knew it. They were logically proved wrong, but their heart was prepared against God. That is why the preaching of the gospel always comes back down to preaching the love of God and must be received by faith. That's why Jesus, after he rose from the dead, didn't just go walking around Jerusalem and all of Nazareth and all of the Galilee area and every town, just holding his hands up in the air with those huge Roman crucifix nails that had been driven through and put daylight through his hands with the holes in his hands and his feet, and just logically proved to everybody that he was the Son of God because he raised from the dead. Because he could have done that. He could have logically proved to every single person, but it always comes back down to faith. But that doesn't negate the thing, the issue of what is logical and makes sense to you, because there is no counsel, the proverb says, there is no counsel against the Lord. There is no counsel against the wisdom of God. So what's logical to you? The faith of God, the spirit, things of the Spirit of God are logical. You can't have what your heart isn't prepared for. Worldly hearing is little faith. The last thing I want to tell you right now, the impossible is logical to the one who has heard from God. The impossible is logical to the person that has heard from God. Jesus used the numbers of the fish and the bread as logical proof. If the impossible hasn't become totally logical to you, then you need to pray and get back in the Word. If the impossible hasn't become totally logical to you, then you need to pray and get back in the Word. I'm telling you, when you get so convinced of what God has spoken to you, when you get so convinced of the wisdom of God that He has put in your heart and the plan of God, I'm telling you, that is why we miss a lot of things, because we over-spiritualize our faith. And I've said that many times before, but I'm telling you, especially as Spirit-filled Christians, we tend to over-spiritualize our faith. Now, let me just talk to you about that for a minute. Because we want to get so super and hyper spiritual about the things of God that we neglect that God has a logical step-by-step, line-by-line, and precept-by-precept process of manifesting His promises, of manifesting a full congregate, a full sanctuary three times over on a Sunday morning. God has a logical step-by-step and process to get there, of manifesting abundance in your bank account to where you can give Pastor $50,000 a year on top of your tithe. God has a logical step-by-step process to get there. But if you over-spiritualize it, you will miss what God has to do in your life. Well, it worked when I got saved. When I was a newborn Christian, I prayed and this supernatural miracle happened. That's great. But at the same time, a baby cries and a parent comes and gives them a prepared meal. So you grow up spiritually, and God gives you responsibility, and He gives you wisdom and understanding so that you can manifest more of the power of God and more of the goodness of God. So you have to come to the place where the plan of God and the wisdom of God for your life is logical to you. So is your heart based and rooted and grounded in the Word and the things of the Spirit of God enough to where what God's promise is for your life is logical and it makes sense? Where is your mind? If you have the mind of Christ, it will make sense. If you have your heart rooted and grounded in the love of God, rooted and grounded in the Word, then God's promise and His goodness will make sense to you. What will be illogical is for it to not happen. What would be illogical is for the blessing of God to not take place. I'm telling you, you could interview Pastor, you could talk to him and ask him about moving downtown and the great step of faith that he took moving into that building, coming out of Berry Street with a small building worth about $40,000 and coming into a building worth several million. And it looks totally illogical in the realm of the natural. But to Pastor, he never considered failure. He didn't look at that. And what was logical to Pastor was success. What was logical to Pastor is, we're going to take this church and we're going to own it. We're going to pay that mortgage off and this is going to work. Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean it wasn't hard. That doesn't mean it was easy the whole time. But it made sense. He was rooted and grounded in what God had for him. So we can't get hyper-spiritual about the things of God. We have got to mature in this area. Because God is speaking to every single person in here. He has the next step of faith or the step of faith that you're working on. I'm telling you, I believe I'm just coming as a teacher and just drilling these precepts to you tonight to say, get your heart to the place where this makes sense. And don't over-spiritualize it. Because we know I'm an evangelist and God uses the gift of healing in my life. And I lay hands on people and you see miracles take place. And you see people get healed that may or may not have had the faith to get healed. But that's why it's a gift. All right, you following me so far? That's why it's a gift. God gives people healing. The truth of the matter is the highest realm and the highest way to receive healing is to get so rooted and grounded in the Word that you force any and every sickness out of your life. Not everybody walks at that place, but everybody can. That's the highest level. I'm telling you, there's no, and I'm not teaching a healing seminar, but there's no sickness, no disease that can dominate your life unless you let it dominate your life. That's the truth. There's no sickness or disease that can dominate your life unless you let it dominate your life. You can quote the encyclopedia more on the disease than you can the Word. Well, you can quote the doctor more than you can what God said. Well, that's an identification of where your heart is. But there's no sickness or disease that can dominate your life when you get to the place where it's sensible, when you're so rooted and grounded in the Word and in prayer that this makes sense to you. And you're on the Jesus side of this story and you're thinking, I am healed. There's no way that I can't be healed. I don't care if the report came back with cancer still. I am totally healed. Hallelujah. I'm struggling to try to figure out another way to tell you this tonight. There are areas in my life where I walk in divine health and I'm pushing sickness and things out, hereditary things, and walking in divine health because I get to the place where I am totally convinced of this in the realm of the Spirit. When you have that note of victory in your heart, in your spiritual heart, and it doesn't matter what the doctor says and the physical report says, then you're going to see the physical report and the thing change because your heart is more important than your physical body. So I'm trying to say a whole lot here, but when people come for prayer in the healing line and their faith isn't up to that level, that's why people come. And that's okay. It's not a condescending thing. That's okay. Because God loves you and He gives you gifts and He heals people. But you'll see somebody whose faith is not ready to receive their healing on their own, and they get healed up here in the healing line. And thank God for that. And it's totally supernatural. It's totally gracious. But that is not the way that God does everything in the realm of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are powerful. The gifts of the Spirit are for demonstration. But that is not the way that God does everything in the realm of the Spirit. This is the way that God does everything in the realm of the Spirit, by being rooted and grounded in the Word and not being moved. When you get to that place, everything is possible. All of the impossible in the realm of the natural becomes possible. When you get to the place where it's logical to you, then it'll be manifested to you. Because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. So I want to just drill home. I'm closing right now. I want to drill home to you right now that Jesus was telling the disciples, look at the numbers. How many of you are businessmen here in this place? Raise your hands. You know, look at the numbers. Jesus was being a businessman here and saying, look, disciples, look at the numbers. You missed it. Look at the numbers. This makes sense. Look at the numbers. Look at the Word of God and look what God is doing and get to the place where the logical makes sense to you and you're going to manifest the impossible and see God's blessing take place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith to hear is your ability to do. Hallelujah. Your great faith or your little faith is determined by your hearing. Hallelujah. How many of you learned something tonight? Glory to God. Why don't you stand up on your feet?